Psalms 34. This past Wednesday night, I had the privilege of speaking at Southwide at Brother Bobby Robinson's church there, Walkertown, North Carolina. And the Lord burdened us to close the conference out with a message on faith to finish. I want to finish my course. I want to finish well. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. I want to continue to serve the Lord with all that is within me. I want faith to finish. And I realize to do that we have to have another generation. Boys, make your way up, would you? And it's one thing for us to serve the Lord, but it's another thing that we pass the torch. And we took some young men with us to Israel. And Brother Jason, we know that those young men, that we nicknamed them the Timothy group, that God used them in a great way in the Holy Land. And then we know that we have young men in our church that love the Lord and they're talented. And before I read the scripture text, I not only want to have faith to finish the course, I want to pass. Come on and be ready to sing, guys. I want to be ready to go forward for the Lord. But then I want to win the daily battle. And that's what I want to talk about today, is faith over fear. Psalms 34 deals with the subject of having faith in a fearful time. I want to read to you from the Word of God. Psalms 34 and verse number 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse number 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In 1945, outside the village of Zalna, there was a man by the name of James Russ, R-U-S. And Mr. Rush had been affected by the War of Europe. Adolf Hitler, the Gestapo, the spirit of fear that was in the land. And one day, overcome with that fear, he fled outside the village to his sister's farm and went into their house. And there he hid out from the marching armies of Hitler, the cruelty of the Gestapo, and the fear that had permeated the land. During the course of the next few weeks and months, the war ended. But he would not leave the house. He thought it was a trick. He would hear laughter and happy voices, and he would cry that they were trying to lure him out. His mother passed away, and he would not even go to his mother's funeral because he was afraid. Several years later, his sister went to town and placed a large order of bread for bread, and it was delivered to the farmhouse. And the delivery man was curious, and he began to talk. And then Mr. Rush came around the corner. And then almost with a sigh of relief, he began to talk. And then the bakery guy went back to town and told the reporter, and the reporter came out. And according to the news reports, he told them that he was found, that he had been discovered. If not, he would still be hiding. The year was 1977. He didn't come out of that house for 32 years. He was afraid of something that was not even there. The spirit of fear can captivate you. Your past can hold you prisoner. You can be afraid of things that have happened to you. You can be afraid of people. You can be afraid of criticism. You can be afraid that you will fail if you try. You can be afraid of being alone. You can be afraid of the future. All of those are real and genuine fears. But it's not God's will for us to live in fear. The spirit of fear is not of the Lord. And God wants us to have victory over those fears. I have prayed for God to give me faith to finish my course. I pray for God to give us faith to face our fears. And I pray today as a church family, we will say, God, we thank you for 49 years, but God, may the next 49 seconds or the 49 minutes or the 49 months or the 49 years of the future, that you would receive the praise and the glory as we as a family of faith not give you half of ourselves, but we commit our very beings and energy that we will be salt and light in this terribly dark hour that we're living in. That we would not be afraid of the dark. And we would not be afraid to stand for righteousness. F.B. Meyer, the great theologian, wrote, "Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God. But faith puts God between us and our circumstances." Unbelief puts our circumstances right between God and us. But when we get into faith, faith puts God between us and our circumstances. It doesn't matter about the fear that you may have today, whatever that fear may be that cripples you or holds you prisoner. Maybe the fear of disappointments. Maybe the fear of living. Maybe the fear of dying. I think that we all could agree on September the 11th, 2001, a spirit of fear settled over America. And that fear has not gone away. There are people that are afraid to be in crowds. People afraid to go on vacation. People afraid to get on a plane and travel because of the uncertainty of what has happened and what could happen. A spirit of fear on our land. Today, many people are afraid of the world that we live in. The Middle East and Russia and Syria and China, the economy, your family, your future, all of those things mixed together. It's very normal. It's very natural to be anxious, to wonder, and to have some concerns. But it is not normal or natural for a child of God to be paralyzed in fear. We can all have moments that we would look into ourselves and say, I wonder, I'm concerned. But then we begin to do what the psalmist David did. He began to find out how to have victory over those fears. The Lord actually challenged our faith. What does he say to you and to me today? He says, casting all our care upon him. Why should we do that? Because he what? He cares for us. But you know what I found out? I found out that's a lot easier to say than it is to do. Could I get an amen on that? I mean, really, I know it intellectually, but how do I bring it down here to my heart and live it and walk it, casting all my cares upon Him. Do you have an anxiety today? Do you have a care today? Do you have a broken heart today? Do you have a problem you cannot solve today? God said, you bring that to Him. You cast it upon Him. But I know He's busy, so I keep a lot for me. I don't want to be unemployed, so I've got to worry. And you realize that over and over, we have the opportunities that we could cast it upon the Lord, but our very nature is we bring it back. And that's where we have to grow and mature in this study of faith. What David is writing about is how to encounter your fears. David is writing about how to handle your problems. David is dealing with how to handle people, family, and friends. How to handle money. What to do when you have a health problem. When you see the world melting down. David is writing about it. Look what he said in chapter 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord when? At all times. That's what he's saying. He's saying, when you're afraid, bless the Lord. When you're sick, bless the Lord. When you're broke, bless the Lord. When you're rich, bless the Lord. He's saying, at all times, bless the Lord when you're on vacation. And bless the Lord when you're not on vacation, but you're wishing you were on vacation. Just bless the Lord. He said, bless the Lord at all times. He's teaching us. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I have prayed for God to give me faith to finish my course. But boy, I've been praying that if God would give me the strength, I'd like to be like David. I'd like to praise Him all the time, any place, any time, and that His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Think about if the Lord would give you the honor that you could actually be taking your last breath on planet Earth. You could be dying, and your last breath would be, I want to bless the Lord. I want to praise Him for His mercy and grace. I want to thank Him that He saved an old sinner like me. I want to rejoice that He never left me alone. I want to thank Him that He met my every need and that He provided for me, that I could continually praise the Lord in all that I say or do. You say, but Brother Ralph, you don't know the storm that I'm in. You don't know how tall the waves are. You just don't understand. I'm barely hanging on. My emotions are gone. I'm so fragile. I can't even walk a straight line because my head is spinning with the fears and the circumstances and all that's raging around me. Well, let me help you with something this morning. You listen, if you don't get anything else to take home today, you put this in a Ziploc bag and take it home with you because you'll need it later on today or tomorrow and in life. But you always remember this. Sometimes the Lord does come. And sometimes Jesus does walk out on the bow of the boat and He calms the storm. Sometimes He does that. The storm's raging. The wind's blowing. And Jesus walks out because we're saying, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you know my heart's breaking? Don't you know I can't take another day of this? Don't you know I'm overwhelmed? And Jesus walks out on the bow of the boat and He speaks. And when He speaks, the winds lie down and the waves bow down at His feet. He's got the power. He's got the authority. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He is the one that just has to speak and everything changes. He can do that. He's got the power. But I can tell you today that sometimes He walks out on the bow of the ship and the wind is blowing and the waves are piling in and you're drowning in the circumstance and God does not calm the storm. He calms the child. What are you saying? Sometimes He doesn't take the storm away. He doesn't calm the storm, but He'll calm you to take the storm. He'll let you have peace in the midst of a tempest, that you'll know He's alive and well, and He will not abandon you. Verse number 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. Read it with me. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Not part of my fears. Not half of my fears. Not three-fourths of my fears. Not 99% of my fears. Not 99.9% of my fears. But He delivered me from all my fears. You've got a God that hears you, and a God that will care for you, and a God that will provide for you. And what happens when we seek Him, He provides for us. You say, but Brother Ralph, I'm afraid. Well, you know what God said in His Word? He will provide courage. What, when we're seeking Him, look at verse 4 again. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. What's your circumstance? Seek the Lord. What's your problem? Seek the Lord. What's your shortcoming? Seek the Lord. What's your fear? Seek the Lord. What's your anxiety? Seek the Lord. When we seek the Lord, what are we acknowledging? We're acknowledging our humanity. We're acknowledging our weakness. And when we are the weakest, that's when He's the strongest. And when we seek Him, it allows us to tell Him how much we love Him and how much we need Him. And then if I'm afraid, then He can provide courage for me. Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things. So you say, but I can't do that one. Oh, yes, you can. Well, I've never been able to. Well, but guess what? Times are changing. You're getting closer to the Lord. You're growing. You're maturing. And God's going to help you with the very thing you think is going to kill you is the very thing God's going to use to show His glory and power in your life. You say, but Pastor Ralph, I'm unsure what to teach. I'm unsure what to sing. I'm unsure what to say. I'm unsure how to witness. Then seek the Lord. Call upon the Lord. And He'll give you the wisdom to speak. You will be shocked at yourself. You'll say, did that come out of my mouth? No, it really didn't. It came out of your soul, because it came out of God who lives inside of you. It's the wisdom that He places in you. Do not try to deliver yourself. This is an important lesson. Do not try to solve your own problem. Here's the devil's temptation. The devil will try to get you to solve your situation in your own power, in your own intelligence, with your own personality. By nature, men, we're fixers. Daddies are fixers. The bicycle's broken. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it. The skateboard's broken. I'll fix it. The basketball goal fell off. Don't worry. I can fix it. The car's not working. Don't worry. I can fix it. Well, there's not enough money to pay the bill this month. Don't worry. I'll figure it out. I'll fix it. We're fixers. We're by nature, we're made to fix it. We'll solve it. We're can-dos. This is a man's nature. But every now and then, God will allow you to run up to something. You can't fix it. Now what you going to do, Daddy? What you going to do, husband? Well, I'll fix it with your power, with your intelligence. You're going to fix it. Do you not understand that God will put you in a position that you can't fix it, you can't repair it, you can't solve it? Why? Because He wants you to seek Him. Because in your weakness, there is He the strongest. He'll provide for you and He'll provide for me. And that's the same thing that we have to understand in our lives. When we face problems, we cannot fix, we cannot repair. We want to. Mamas fix everything,
right? Mama's fixed everything. If there's a boo-boo, all it takes is mama to kiss it and you feel better. Some of you would pay $50 just to get your mama to hug your neck again, but she's already in heaven. Just to have her on the phone one more time, one more conversation, just something about a mama makes everything better. I read a story about a little boy who was in bed and a severe thunderstorm broke out. And he started wailing and yelling for his mama. And his mama came into the bedroom and she began to comfort him. He said, "Mama, I'm afraid of this storm." She said, "Don't you be afraid." Said, "You're fine. You're in the house. Mama and daddy are right here." She began to tuck him in. She kissed him. She comforted him. And he took a deep breath, sort of relaxed. And then it thundered again. Then the lightning flashed again. And he said, "Mama, can you just sleep with me tonight?" And she said, "Now, honey, I can't sleep with you tonight. You're fine. Daddy and I are right across the hall. The door's open. You'll be fine. I've got to sleep with Daddy." There's a pause. There's a silence. And that little boy said, "The big sissy." If anybody ought to get the mama, it ought to be him. Not that big sissy across the hall. Hey, we've got a God that cares. And He's so wonderful, He can be in everybody's house. And He can get in everyone's car. And He can go with everyone to work. And He can meet all our needs. Isaiah talked about the mystery of this same God. Chapter 40 and verse 29. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." But I love verse 31, don't you? "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29, 30, and 31. You see, I cannot always fix it myself. I cannot always repair it myself. I have to depend upon the Lord, because what God's teaching me, that the arm of the flesh will let me down. It's not how much money I have. It's not how many acres of land I own. It's not how many college degrees I've earned. Those are arms of the flesh. And God is getting us ready for eternity. He's preparing us in a world that's literally lost its mind, that you could understand what really matters in life. Musette was talking to me yesterday, and she said, "Doesn't it amaze you that how as you grow older, your priorities change? What you thought was so important when you were 20 was not so important when you were 40. And what you thought was important when you were 40 is not so important when you're 41. So, there you go. Your priorities change. You see, God is trying to help us. Jesus never leaves us and He never forsakes us. And He's always there, that present help. And many times when we don't understand the lesson that David is teaching, what are we experiencing? We're experiencing a power that is unused. He's available. He's right there. Verse 4 said, "I sought the Lord." But if we're not seeking the Lord, then we're just running around like a little old hamster in the treadmill. Get up, go to work, go to lunch, go back to work. Your drive home, listen to the same old radio station, get home, go in, put on your pajamas, eat some supper, go to bed, get up, go to work. But work a little faster today.
because I didn't get everything done yesterday, so I'm going to have to go a little faster today, and now I'm going to go to lunch, and then I'm going to go home, then I'm going to go somewhere. Well, I didn't get it all done, so I'm going to go faster tomorrow because I didn't get it all done.
Welcome to my world. Do you ever feel like that? And what he's teaching us that we're trying to do it when he will do it. It's power that's unused. David said, I sought the Lord. And how did he handle it, Pastor Jerry? He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. The good times, I'm going to bless him. The bad times, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him when I feel good. I'm going to bless him when I don't feel good. I'm going to bless him when the fish are biting. And I'm going to try to bless him when they're not biting. You just got to understand that it's all about seeking the Lord, because it's untapped power. It's untapped resources. I read the story last week of Herbert Jackson, and as part of his seminary training program, he had to spend 2 years on the mission field. And so he went to the mission field, and as the other seminary students were leaving, they told him, this is your car. This is the only car on the mission compound, and it does not start. And if you're going to use it to do your work, you have to get somebody to help you push it off. And then if you let it die, then you've got to jump it off, or you've got to park on a hill. And so he developed a system. He got the kids out of the mission school in the morning to come out, and he'd get in the car, and all the kids would get behind it, and they'd push him off, and he'd go make his rounds and run his errands. And if he was at a place or a business where it was level, he'd leave it running. If he could, he'd park it on a hill so he could coast it down the hill and pop the clutch and start it. Or he'd get some kids in the village to push him, and he'd pop the clutch and he'd start the car. And he lived that way. And he developed a real smooth system that it wasn't really that much of a problem. He always had his guys ready to push him off. He already had the hill. He always parked on the road down. And for 2 years. And then the new missionary students came, and Mr. Jackson was showing them, this is the only car we've got. It doesn't work. It's a clunker. And if you're using it to run around, you've got to push it off, or you've got to get up on a hill and run down the hill and coast and pop the clutch, and said, but it's all you've got to work with. And so while he's talking to the new missionary, one of the guys popped the hood on the old clunker. And he looked down there and he said, Mr. Jackson, he said, it looks like that battery post is corroded. And he took his hand and he cleaned it off. And he said, oh, look, this cable's loose. And he put it on there and he tightened it up. He put the hood down, walked around, sat down, and started the engine. And for 2 years, he had been pushing this thing off. For 2 years, he'd been coasting down the hill and popping the clutch. For 2 years, he had a clunker that wouldn't start. And the whole time, the power was available. He just didn't use it. He had a loose cable. I wonder this morning, does your faith have a bad battery post? Does your faith have a loose cable? Have you been trying to fix it yourself, solve it yourself, make it work yourself? Well, God has this Sunday morning for you, that you could understand that He is a very present help in the time of trouble. And He said in Psalms 34, He said, I will bless every day. I'm going to bless the Lord. When? At all times. Are we guilty of complaining? Are we guilty of saying, nobody's ever done anything for me? Can you imagine people saying, God's never done anything for me, when they're alive and breathing, living in a free land? You see, God wants this service today to help our faith. God can touch your faith today. He can touch my faith. All of us have problems we can't solve. We have heartaches we can't fix. We got health issues. All of us. And today, Jesus is saying, I want you to come. I want you to clean the battery post and tighten up the cable to heaven. There's help available. Jesus will come and make a difference.